incomparably profound and infinitely subtle is rarely encountered even in hundreds of thousands of millions of ages. Now we see it, hear it, receive and maintain it. May we completely realize the Tathagata's truth.
Because the Dharma is realized only by Buddhas, we say Buddhas alone, together with Buddhas, are directly able to realize it. Buddhas alone, together with Buddhas. A beautiful phrase describing the essence of Sesshin, the essence of practice together with all beings. Buddhas alone. Between heaven and earth, only this one Buddha. Together with Buddhas pervading everywhere. The Lotus Sutra talks about countless innumerable Buddhas rising up from the earth. We can see this in the field through the window. This morning, innumerable Buddhas were raining down from the sky. Sentient Buddhas, insentient Buddhas, appreciating the liberating teaching of the insentient Buddhas of cushions and benches and chairs. Hearing the lion's roar of the wooden floor Buddha when it creaks. All of this calling us into practice together. Together as this one Buddha with many hearts, 10,000 arms, supporting each other, buoying each other, but not even each other, just supporting, just buoying, just held up. Entering into the intimacy of all the many Buddhas who arise inwardly. Buddhas overwhelmed with love. Buddhas shot through and cracked open with grief. Sitting with the Buddha of each breath. Buddhas of anxiety, Buddhas of confusion. The dark that makes all the Buddhas into one Buddha, the Buddha of endarkenment. The light that reveals the myriad Buddhas in their distinctness. I invite us all into the practice of really encountering Buddha after Buddha after Buddha. Encountering all the Buddhas, sitting as all the Buddhas, sitting as Mahavairochana Buddha, the Buddha of the cosmic enlightenment pervading everywhere, the Buddha that is the one bright pearl of the universe itself. Shedding the tears that only we can shed as Vairochana. Sitting in community, humility, shared effort, beyond the many and the one. Dogen says, although each individual inherently possesses the way, the gaining of it depends on all the communities studying together. Although an individual may have a brilliant mind, the practice of the way depends on the strength of many. There is no way to practice the way except by depending on the strength of many, relying on the strength of many, entrusting ourselves to the strength of many. Dogen says, you must always keep polishing and always keep training. And then very sweetly, in this talk that Dogen is giving before his successor, his first successor, Ajo, gives his first talk, Dogen says, although it is not easy to teach Buddhism by myself, if we work together with the same determination, then we will be practicing in the way of the Buddhas and ancestral teachers. Even our great ancestor Dogen relied on the strength of others, the clarity of others. This is what we are entrusting ourselves to. We are entrusting ourselves to the clarity that is not owned by us, not created by us, not deserved by us. The clarity that arises in the form of confusion, in the form of darkness, and is expressed by entrusting. Entrusting ourselves to Guan Yin's mercy by the sea at the end of these dark and broken roads. Here where wave after wave, Buddha after Buddha crashes upon the shore of Buddha, making the sound of Buddha entering our ears, uplifting our souls. This is what we entrust ourselves to. This is the invitation of Buddhas alone together with Buddhas.
Entrusting ourselves. Flinging ourselves into, allowing ourselves to be dissolved into this practice, this opportunity that we have co-created to nurture this practice, nurture this quality. Buddhas meeting, Buddhas realizing Buddhas. Yesterday, when we had dinner in the other building, with several people that aren't our group, I was struck by this. On the one hand, on the other hand, all these folks that that I don't know that are here, engaged in their own practice that I don't know anything about, and on the other hand, Buddhas emanating, enacting, embodying perfectly their Buddha nature. And appreciating our practice, which can cultivate the opportunity for this recognition in each other. Sometimes so difficult, so challenging to acknowledge the Dharma arising, the Buddha nature, obscured or not, in other human beings. We confuse each other. We push each other's buttons. We get drawn into and draw each other into this cacophonous tumult. And there can be great ache and rage in that place. How do we engage this practice of realizing Buddhas? How do we plant and nurture the seeds of mercy? Beginning right here on this seat in this moment, with what invariably is our own aching heart, allowing this non-separation, allowing this a thorough intimacy. Encouraging ourselves and each other over and over again, to not turn away. Maybe too difficult to turn towards, but if we can just be still. What is this? That we have this incredible, singularly rare opportunity to realize. When might we stop looking for it elsewhere? And look deeply and with great love at this great mystery. Maybe quite profound, maybe as simple as realizing the glasses that you were looking for are on your head.
I was struck by the ways in which this passage addresses how we turn away all the time from one another, from the life that we're living. And in here, suggesting that we're always looking for some kind of exciting, transcendent experience that we can call realization. And sometimes if we go down that route, we can experience a variety of different mind states. But there's a beautiful line in here, and it's, when you realize Buddha Dharma, you will not need to wonder how it came about. This strikes me as really true. The mind states that arise, whether they're seeing cherry blossoms in the middle of a snowfall, or kind of sparkling things all around you. Afterwards, you say to yourself, now, how did I do that? I wonder if there's some way I can make that happen again. And you wonder how it came about. And even if these things don't happen, you wonder how you can make them come about. And we get lost in this. Instead of meeting one another and what's right here, we get lost wandering around like this. And it What arose for me then was a passage by one of our little nuns. I call them little nuns, but I don't know why. And this is Rohini in Wandering Star. And she's commenting on ordaining and putting on the robes. And she says, you don't become the cloth just because you put on robes. You don't turn into empty space just because you carry a bowl. The sun doesn't bow down, trees don't throw flowers at your feet. But that's exactly what we expect from our practice. We expect to turn into empty space. We expect to see the flowers falling at our feet. All of this is referring to all the flowers that rain down on the Buddha in the Lotus Sutra. But then she comes to later in this passage, what it is. And both Josh and James have referred to this too. She says it can begin very quietly, something you barely even notice, like the touch of water on your skin, like a knife in a drawing. So it's right here. It's right here. It's not somewhere else we have to go. Sometimes we think when it's not somewhere else we have to go, which our sutras keep telling us, that must mean there's something in our brain. We got to get to that point where we can find this wonderful thing, this essential self. But the turning inward is not referring to that at all. And the other thing that came up for me was the Buddha's story of his own enlightenment. When he was, this is apocryphal, but I imagine, he collapsed by the side of a path. He was starving to death. And a young girl came by, and she saw this man collapsed by the path, and she offered him some milk, and he revived. Now, later the commentators say that Buddha realized that the ascetic path was not the right path for him, that it had to be the middle way, that the extremes that he went to had not brought about what he was looking for. It hadn't explained to him why we suffer. But I think what might have happened is something that happens to all of us. Something very ordinary suddenly awakens us, like the touch of water on the skin, or the knife in the draw, or the hand towels in an old Indian restaurant on Route 9 in Framingham. And I think that's what that milk was. Or I like to think that's what that drop of milk was for the Buddha. And like us, he forgets it. It's just a drop of milk. It's just a box of hand towels. It's just some water dropping on the arm. I must have been mistaken. It couldn't be anything more than that. And it isn't anything more than that, and yet it's everything, isn't it? And the Buddha then goes and sits. And he has to go through what we do when we aren't quite ready to see what's right there. He's attacked by Mara and tormented by his own arisings till he sees the knife in the draw. He sees the morning star and the compassion of the milkmaid, I believe, rises up in him too when he says, I and all beings have awakened. Thank you.
So please be invited to sit comfortably and be invited into our practice of Dharma dialogue.